Education Research. This is episode 80 and explores chapter 4 of Tony Rossi and colleagues' book, Workplace Learning in Physical Education, Emerging Teachers' Stories from the Staff Room and Beyond. This week I'm delighted to welcome Jo Bailey as the practitioner responder, and I thank her for her considered words and for taking the time to respond. The words you hear in the response are Jo's, but the voice is mine. I hope I do justice to her sentiment. This is an audio version of the Pepin blog that can be found at www.peprn.com. Significant dimensions of workplace learning. There is no single staff room. We all understand and negotiate it differently depending on who we are. The Japanese have an expression, a man is what room he is in right now. But more simply, this means that a person's behaviour is dependent on the environment in which she or he finds themselves. We react differently and therefore portray ourselves differently depending on the situation and the environment in which we find ourselves. We don't, however, have an innate understanding of how to be in these rooms, but learn as we go along. Our understanding of these different rooms and the person we are expected to be in each room is developed as we engage in these spaces. Furthermore, while these spaces might look similar, and indeed might expect similar people to occupy them, they are far from being uniform. Each has different norms, cultures, expectations, rules, roles and practices, what Rossi and colleagues refer to as dimensions. By exploring the dimensions that exist, the impact of the departmental PE staff room or office on beginning teachers' careers can begin to be understood. Rossi and colleagues suggested that the dimensions that played the most significant role in framing their understanding of workplace learning were social tasks, performance and practice, identity stroke subjectivities, spatiality, and micropolitics. While it's important to understand that each of these dimensions overlap in each of the 5 case studies in the book, and therefore the blogs that follow, they are presented in isolation to help the reader better understand how they shape the young teachers and impacted on the person they were expected to be in a given room. As such, and in the words of the authors, what follows serves as a jump-off point for the next series of blogs and provides us with a focus for our discussions this week. Each workplace has its own ecology or microclimate. Consequently, certain social tasks are of critical importance in moving from the symbolic periphery to the centre of expertise. Indeed, in order to hold or even aspire to a more central position, pre-service and beginning teachers are expected to forge an understanding of what it means to be a teacher and to teach in this specific microclimate. To do this, they, the new teachers, need to understand and master 3 interconnected task systems, i.e. the teaching task system, organisation task system and social task system. Beyond the task of teaching a class, the tasks of significant importance in this study, and therefore the staff room stroke office itself, were the organisation task system, i.e. the way in which new teachers prepare and plan for teaching, and the social task system, i.e. the ways in which new teachers created and maintained cordial relations with supervising stroke cooperating teachers, other teaching staff, and non-teaching staff members. Both of these systems serves as a way of considering the range of tasks that new teachers must engage with, tasks that only seem to superficially relate to the work they signed up to do. Another way of positioning the practicum is as a performance, or indeed as a site of a performance. While the practicum hasn't previously been theorised as a performance, it seems to lend itself to the idea that the room we're in influences the person we are being. Put more simply, the pre-service or beginning teacher is required to present themselves differently depending on the context and the audience. Rossi and colleagues position the departmental office stroke staff room as a stage upon which the drama, that is the practicum, is constructed. In doing so, they suggest that the individual is then able to present her or himself in the appropriate way, which means showing how they value and ascribe great worth to the learning experiences within the subject department office. Alongside the idea of performance comes the idea of identity stroke subjectivity, or, as the authors describe it, the idea of subject positions, i.e. being either positioned by others as a novice, student or apprentice, or taking on the same position voluntarily. In this way, the new teacher is seen to perform or practice the role that is expected of them. This idea points to the notion that teachers need to make sense of themselves within the department, i.e. how to participate through their gestures, actions, behaviours and tastes, before they are granted permission to move towards the centre and have influence over the actions and perceptions of the department. In this way, pre-service teachers' participation in the subject department office functions as a site not only for learning but also for identity formation. Similarly, the space of the office is significant. How the space is conceptualised, i.e. how it dictates the way in which people act and be in this space, by sitting next to each other, near the kettle, in the head seat, etc., has important implications for the way people themselves are perceived. The ways in which problems such as staff numbers are rationalised in terms of spaces to work can have a profound effect on individuals. Always being the one to answer the door or make the tea says a lot about the relative position of the member of staff in a certain space. The final system, and the one that frames the entire project, was micropolitics. Given the often isolated and geographically remote positioning of the physical education office, the way in which people were managed within a department and within the wider politics of a school was significant. People with differing interests, goals, status, power and authority are often found in physical education departments, at least in the UK. Individuals who hold different responsibilities around the school and yet who congregate in one place. Power, to be used both for influence and protection, comes from the traditional authority-based position in schools. However, influence is also situational, dynamic and flexible, and can be used to maintain, defend or advance our personal interests. The flow of power, which often misses the new teacher, makes certain practices possible, and others either unimagined or impossible. When a teacher is able to impose their influence, then they are able to leverage a situation towards their advantage. But this is not something that comes to a new teacher, either quickly or easily. In navigating the different and yet intertwined systems of social task, performance and practice, identity, stroke, subjectivity, spatiality and micropolitics, the new teacher is required to understand, exist and even prosper in a space they have just jumped off into. While it is understandable to see it as a daunting and not always ideal, it is not understandable that we know so little about workplace learning and yet put so much stock in it. Only in opening our eyes to the mess that teachers young and old have to navigate can we begin to be positioned to understand what we are letting our teachers in for. Practitioner Response by Joe Bailey. There is little more daunting than trying to find your feet in a new school. You are the new kid on the block, the one everyone looks at, trying to figure out what you are all about, while perhaps whispering a comment to another member of staff. At the same time, you are trying to make a positive impression, learn about the unwritten rules, don't, whatever you do, use Mr. Smith's mug, that run the workplace, for better or worse. As an experienced teacher in a new school, this is challenging. As a pre-service teacher, is akin to navigating across an ocean that can be perfectly calm one minute and rough the next. You spend a considerable amount of time just trying to keep your head above water. The social constructs of a school are often not explicitly taught in PEEP programmes, pedagogy, curriculum and classroom management rule. Yet as the blog points out, we need to learn very quickly what room we are in at a given moment so that we can respond appropriately and leverage the best from each room we enter. While the blog notes that social tasks may only seem to superficially relate to teaching, I believe the reality is completely different. As a pre-service teacher, one might approach this from the angle of, what's in it for me? This might sound very self-serving, and it is, but it only serves to strengthen the practicum experience and expedite the value a pre-service teacher brings to the school environment, and thus their teaching. Here are some ways I feel pre-service teachers can do this. 1. Find the expert. Identify people who will be your experts within the school. Who knows every unwritten rule? Who is innovative? Who did the students talk about? Mr. Mrs. A is the best teacher. His, her classes are amazing. Engage with these people by asking them to share their expertise with you. How is it that they can get struggling and disengaged students to be the first ones to arrive at their classroom? I have yet to meet a person who doesn't respond positively to praise and/or validation. This is also an excellent way to create a dialogue between you and other members of staff. 2. Figure out your sales pitch. You may have an idea, but selling it as your own might not garner the response or buy-in you had anticipated. Sharing ideas from a third-party perspective and asking for advice or help with implementation will help bring support to your corner. 3. Confirm verbal plans in writing. When are assemblies? Who is using the equipment space and when? What do you need me to do to get ready for this event? Communication, when done in a timely fashion, prevents confusion ahead of time and can diffuse many a situation in the heat of the moment. 4. Apply classroom management techniques in every room. We know our students vary in their preferred learning styles and their preferred medium of recognition. Adults are no different. To sharing a resource, paying it forward, getting something out, or putting it away for a colleague, make their day. Ask yourself, how can I add value to the situation? Ask your colleagues, how can I help you? Physical education teachers often have to work harder to be appreciated and respected by their peers, yet I would argue that physical education is one of the only subjects where the side effects of the subject matter can positively impact every other aspect of learning. Even as a pre-service teacher, you can and should share the latest research with your principal on how movement benefits the brain or why classroom activity breaks facilitate learning. Not only will you be adding value to the school environment, perhaps precipitating change, you will also be adding value to your stock as a teacher. So, in concluding, how does this discussion relate to you, to your experiences? Did it make you think or consider something? I'd love to hear your thoughts and so would others, so please share at www.peprn.com. Thanks for listening and see you next week for the next Pepin podcast, where I will explore the next chapter of Rossi and colleagues' book. Acknowledgements. I would like to thank Jo for her contribution and for taking the time to reflect on this blog. I would also like to thank Vicky Goodyear for her work behind the scene as copy editor. Her help certainly forms a vital part of the production of this podcast and in getting it out on time in an semblance of coherence. However, it is important to note that any mistakes that remain are mine. Thank you.